Grace and Truth, Thursday, November 4th, 2010, Philippians 4.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is Caleb, and I invite you to stay tuned for Grace and Truth. It says in the book of John chapter 1, verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Please join us as we read through the New Testament in 1 year. We will be doing a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, and verse-by-verse in-depth study of the New Covenant, the life of Jesus Christ in the early church. Errol Manin is a Bible teacher and has been a pioneer in the house church and homeschool movements for over 25 years. He is the founder of Global Church Planting Mission and is the pastor of the Priscilla and Aquila House. And now, here is the host of Grace and Truth, Errol Manin.
Well, thank you, Caleb, and thank you, my friend, for tuning in to Grace and Truth. Brothers and sisters, God's Word has dramatically changed my life for the good, and I'm confident that it can do the same for you. So let's get right into the Word today and begin our study by reading Philippians chapter 4. "Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Well, folks, once again, Paul covered many powerful truths here in Philippians chapter 4, but there are four major points, four really big ideas that I would like to address today, and they are these. Big idea number one, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Big idea number two, don't be anxious about anything. Pray, believe, and give thanks. Big idea number three, discipline your mind. Take every thought captive. And big idea number four, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's look at big idea number one. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Brothers and sisters, Paul gave this as a command. This was not a suggestion. Paul didn't say rejoice if you feel like it. No, he said always rejoice, even when you don't feel like it. Rejoice anyway. You know what, brothers and sisters, Paul lived what he preached. Now, while Paul and Silas were in Philippi, remember that they were attacked by a mob, they were dragged off to the city authorities, they were beaten with rods, they were whipped severely, and then they were thrown in prison. And then the jailer put them in the dungeon and fastened their feet in the stocks. Very bad circumstances. But do we see Paul and Silas wailing and travailing over their circumstances? No way. It says in Acts 16, verse 25, it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Folks, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Christ who had suffered for them. So, brothers and sisters, if Paul and Silas could rejoice after being beaten by rods, severely whipped, cast into prison, locked in the stocks, surely we can rejoice in the Lord even in the midst of our problems. Let's look at big idea number two. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray, believe, and give thanks. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Folks, no matter what is going on in our life, no matter what turmoil we are in, God is still on His throne. Our problems have not put God in a tailspin. Our problems don't have God wringing His hands in worry. Our God is more stable than the rock of Gibraltar. So, take your anxieties to God in prayer. Make your requests known to God. Ask God to help you. Believe God will help you. And most importantly, thank God for helping you. And if you'll do that, God will give you peace that passes all understanding. Let's look at big idea number three. Discipline your mind. Take every thought captive. Folks, I remember God spoke to me one time and He said, son, He said, you have a lazy mind. And I was really insulted by that. And I said, Lord, I don't understand how you can say that because I know that my mind is going a million miles an hour every minute. And the Lord said to me, He said, I didn't say you had an inactive mind. He said, I meant that you have an undisciplined mind. Folks, listen, we have got to learn how to discipline our minds. We have got to learn how to take every thought captive. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. He said, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Folks, Paul told us here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he tells us to meditate only on those things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Folks, to be able to meditate on those things and on those things only, we have got to learn how to discipline our minds and to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you want to change your life? Change your thinking. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Brothers and sisters, we are the product of what we believe in our hearts. We are the product of what we think in our minds. If we think evil, we're going to live evil. If we think godly, we're going to live godly. Let's look at big idea number four. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul had learned how to be steadfast in the Lord. Paul didn't live by his fickle emotions. Paul didn't live by his fluctuating circumstances. Paul had learned how to rejoice in the Lord always, whether he had nothing or whether he had everything. You know what? Paul rejoiced when his belly was full, and Paul rejoiced when he was very, very hungry. So no matter what circumstances Paul was in, he had learned to be content. How did he do that? By learning how to trust in the Lord and putting his trust in the Lord's strength and not trusting in his own strength. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, brothers and sisters, we also can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Amen. Well, folks, this does bring us to the conclusion of today's study. Brothers and sisters, I think that it is appropriate from time to time to take just a moment to share with you a little about myself, my wife Gretchen, and our family. Gretchen and I both got born again in 1970, but we didn't meet until 1972 while we were both attending Bible school and missions training. We fell in love and were married in 1973. Our oldest son Caleb was born in 1975. Our daughter Priscilla was born in 1978. And that same year, God told me I was a church planter. So in 1978, we planted our first house church. In 1981, we moved and planted our second house church. And then in 1984, we began to homeschool our children. In 1987, our son Daniel was born, and our youngest son John was born in 1988. So my wife Gretchen homeschooled all four of our children over a period of 23 years. She is an amazing mother and teacher. We are both strong advocates of Christian homeschools. We planted our third house church on January 1st, 2000, and our fourth house church in July 2004. We both love relationally based churches that meet in the home. They are simple and absolutely biblical. I began my Grace and Truth radio show in January 2010. I am able to produce and record my show in my office right in my own home. So whether it is homeschool, home church, or home-based ministry and outreach, home is where my heart is. Well, I hope that you are being blessed every day by our Grace and Truth radio show. So thank you for joining us today, my friend, and may God richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Grace and Truth. Please join us again as Errol continues to read and teach through the New Testament. He is following Paul's admonition to Timothy, attend to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Wow, the Word of God is so awesome and powerful. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. We know that everyone will be blessed from the Word of God. Please consider joining us in both prayer and financial support for this public reading and teaching of Scripture. If you want prayer or would like to order additional resources or make a donation, please write us at Global Church Planting Mission, Post Office Box 50105, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80949. You can also visit us online at globalchurchplantingmission.org. Again, our address is Global Church Planting Mission, Post Office Box 50105, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80949. We would love to hear from you today. Grace and peace to you all.